You're with Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.
Well, I've lived, Wendy, with seeing the 100-year-old trees along Anzac Parade hacked down entirely unnecessarily by this government. And I remember once travelling into the city, Helena said to me, she said, you know, if they can do this to these trees that have stood here for 100 years, they can do it to any one of the national parks you've declared. And a thought froze me, the idea that national parks could be touched by any government for any so-called urgent purpose. And now I read that the oldest national park in the state, the second oldest in the world, one declared in 1879 and so vital for the recreation of the people of Sydney, is going to be recast, remade to accommodate the F6. Now, this not only threatens one of the state's most valuable national parks because of its proximity to Sydney, because of its importance to the people of Sydney, and because of its heritage status, as I said, the oldest in Australia, but it threatens every national park, nature reserve and state recreation area in New South Wales because of the precedent it creates for a government that's already demonstrated, and I'm sad to say it, very little interest in the nature conservation agenda.
Well, I guess the government would say that it stacks up on a cost-benefit basis.
Well, governments can always say that about national parks. Any time since 1879, a government could have said, this national park's too extensive and we've got a more pressing priority. That is the point about national parks. They hold things in reserve from one generation to the next. When I was honoured to declare 350 new national parks, including, for example, with one decision, 100 new national parks between Nowra and the Bega Valley, I thought I was doing it so that this land would be held generation to generation, that we were having a conversation with the future. That's the point in national park status. They're protected for future generations. It's our generation doing something by saving some precious natural space for future generations.
Do you have a personal relationship with the park, as it were, Bob? I know that you're a very keen bushwalker. Is this a particular part of the natural landscape that you've traversed?
Yes, I could say, Wendy, that like so many Sydney people, I as a kid did my first bushwalks along that coastal trail from Bundeena South or from Otford North. On one of my first weekends as Premier of New South Wales, I took a team on a hike doing the full 27 kilometres from Otford up to Bundeena. It was too ambitious. I was shaken to the bones after. after there's too much rock, too many rocks and too much up and down. But I now see people when I do that hike jogging along it. No, it's very precious to me, and for families going to Bundeena, but not interested in hiking, but getting that glimpse of sandstone headlands and the heath and the forest pockets, even little literal rainforest pockets, to think that a part of it, an extensive part of it, is going to be seized for a roadwork, fills me with dread not only for that park and what will follow this shocking compromise, but for the threat it places to every national park, mm-hmm. in every community, in every part of this state.
But I guess the government is looking at this, Bob, and the planners are looking at this because there is, I guess there is a genuine problem with travel times between Sydney and Wollongong. What would your solution be?
Well, there's always been a problem with travel times. I remember my government looked at the road reservation that would have enabled the F6, and there was strong opposition in Sutherland to it, but it didn't involve, that option didn't involve, and I'm going back 15 years, did not involve a road being jammed through this precious coastal heath and forest, so important to Sydney, so close to Sydney, held in such regard by the people of Sydney, especially those in the Sutherland area. Mm. I mean, again and again, governments are forced to think again because of public anger and outrage. And I tell you what, I'm going to be in the first rank of any demonstration organised against this because I can't think of any government doing such an outrageous thing. And I just urge the nature conservation movement, which has been sort of battered into retreat and silence, to seize on this issue and to rally it. This will guarantee the defeat of the Berejiklian government at the next election if it's proceeded with, and I appeal to the good sense of this Premier, although I'm terrified when I think of what she allowed to be done to the trees along Anzac Parade, to rule this out and insist that her bureaucrats bring her other options. The Royal National Park must not be compromised. We've got this appalling level of population growth in the Sydney Basin because we've got the highest rate of immigration of any developed country in the world. And with something like 80,000 additional people being admitted to the Sydney Basin each and every year as a consequence of high immigration, we've got a need for more natural areas being protected, for more open space, not less.
All right. Thanks for joining us this morning, Mr. Carr.
Wendy, my pleasure, although it's not a pleasure to have to talk about this.
You're with Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.